invite you to remain standing for the reading of the gospel lessons today, first from St. John and then from St. Matthew. Listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus said to Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And Matthew tells us that after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you'll see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings," and they came to him and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and they will see me there." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, after three services, now this being the fourth, I want to offer a word of thanks to our music department, our choir, our instrumentalists. Somebody told me after the third service, I think that's what Paul called long-suffering, that they have to sit through one sermon four different times, right? Y'all deserve an extra dose of whatever you gave up for Lent. But thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your time. I also thought about a story and thinking about our children and everyone getting an alleluia today. That's the Easter message. You get an alleluia and you get an alleluia. Thank you, Lucas, for doing that for us. I thought a lot about another little seven-year-old boy, a little older than our children here. He was out in a narthex in a church much like ours. And out in that one, they had a large plaque up on the wall, and it had names of men and women and American flags on either side of it. And the boy was staring there, and the pastor saw it, and the pastor went and said, "Hey, is everything okay?" And the little boy looked up at the pastor and said, "Yeah, but what is this? What is this plaque?" And he said, "Well, it's a memorial, son, to all the young men and women who died while in the service." The little boy said, "Was it the early service or the late service?" Easter, it's a wonderful time to talk to our children and youth about the reality of death, but not its finality. It doesn't get the final word. Christ has overcome all suffering, all death. Those things are temporary for those whose faith is with Christ. It's some of the same children who are so literal in their inquiries. I was reminded of a Sunday school class that was walking over with its teacher, and the teacher was teaching about one of our core values, actually reverent worship. What is reverent worship? And she asked the class, why is it important to keep quiet in church? One little girl very pointedly said, "Because so many people are sleeping in there," right? Well, listen, we join millions of people around the world today to say that Easter is not sleepy, it is not dead, Jesus is not asleep, Jesus is awake. We should be alive in Christ who has overcome all things. Resurrection, it began in darkness, and no one witnessed it. The two Marys went down there very early in Matthew's gospel. An angel came and sat on the stone, and there was a tremendous earthquake, not uncommon in Matthew's gospel narrative, earthquakes. The guards, these strong Roman centurion guards, the ones who were supposed to be, securing the whole place, they cowered in fear. They fell over like dead men, it says. And here these grieving women, they had enough courage to go to the tomb. They became the world's first preachers, by the way, messengers, that Jesus had been raised, was going ahead of them, and that those who had enough faith would follow him, would follow him out into the world. Matthew says the early disciples, these women, they ran from the tomb. I hope you heard this, with fear and great joy. I love that phrase about Easter. I love it about life, really. Those who have enough faith and courage, we're always running with a little bit of fear and hopefully a lot of joy. Those who have courage to run from life's tombs and to proclaim the good news that death is not final, they do so with fear and with joy. And it's in that running, with that courage, with that faith, I hope you heard it in the story, something powerful happens. When a disciple will run from life's tombs with fear and with joy, Jesus will meet him. And Jesus' first words are, do not be what? Afraid. Leave the fear back there. Take the joy out there. Leave the fear in Good Friday. We are God's Easter people. We take joy, the joy of the Lord and of a new day forward. Do you believe this? Resurrection began in darkness. It was quickly made known by an earthquake, because resurrection rocks the world of those who believe it and tell it and experience it. It leaves Caesar's finest shaking in their armored boots. The earth quakes. All creation quakes, either from fear, trying to figure it out, or joy, trying to contain it. The world has shifted on its axis. A badly fractured creation is being restored, and the ground is beginning to shake when that happens, because God is making a mockery of sin and death, of fear and doubt, of power and control. God on Easter is saying no more to distractions and disruptions and disunity and division, saying no more, but with a little fanciful flair, because the earth shakes and bones rattle and stones roll. That's how God works. There's no time in the world of resurrection for anything that's going to divide us from God or from one another or from the community that God is trying to raise to new life. So resurrection should absolutely rock our world, not only as an event 2,000 years ago, but as a present power. Resurrection happens now, as Jason reminded us. Eternal life happens now. Do you believe this? We say it in our creed. We said it just a few minutes ago. I believe in the resurrection of the body. You said that. It's a creedal statement. We don't always know what it means. Here's what I think it means. I believe in the resurrection of Christ's body from the tomb 2,000 years ago. I believe in a bodily resurrection. I do. I also believe in the resurrection of our bodies on our last day. But I also believe in the resurrection of the body called the church. That the body of Christ is being raised to new life again and again and again. So when Jesus says, I am resurrection and life, that's a present statement. I was, or I will be. I am. Right now. Do you believe this? I guess the question is, what needs to be resurrected in our lives? What needs to be raised to new life in our church and in our community and through our church for our community? I caught a glimpse of this past week. I was invited, along with Lucas, to be a part of a ribbon-cutting ceremony at the new CareStar Mental Health Crisis Intervention Center over on Carmichael Road. And so we went just prior to lunch. It's a 24-hour facility where people can go and receive care in immediate and dire situations, 24 hours a day. Our city is one of three. There'll be more coming in the future. And what I discovered is that lives that are entombed by mental health challenges are being raised to new life on Carmichael Road. It's powerful. We saw it. Sheriff Cunningham told us to spread the good news. I mean, seriously, we're standing there with about 200 people, and the cameras and the press were all there. It's a very wonderful event. And the sheriff makes an Easter statement to all of us. He didn't know it, I don't think, but he did. He said, this is not a secret. This is a reality. Go and tell your friends and your family and your neighbors and strangers that this is a reality. And so I'm just doing what Jesus and the sheriff said do. All right? The power of resurrection, the power of God to raise dead places to new life. It's not a secret. It's a reality. It's happening every day in the world. It's happening when mental health needs are being raised to new life, when hunger, scarcity, and security are being raised to new life. Anytime a child learns how to read and overcomes that tomb, resurrection is present. Anytime there's healing and reconciliation between people who are estranged, that's resurrection. That's the body beginning to rise again. Our friends down on Dexter Avenue at Valiant Cross Academy, their slogan, believe it or not, rise above. I love it. That's a resurrection story. A child is having a chance every day to be raised to new life on Dexter Avenue. It's powerful. The question is, do you believe in the power of resurrection to change things? If so, here's the challenge. Two things have to happen. One is some stones have to roll away to let life out. And two is there's some things that need to stay in that tomb, things that don't belong in a resurrection world. So it's time to roll some stones away, my friend, and leave dead parts of life, like we leave the turmoil in the tomb. We leave gripes and grievances in the grave. We leave self-centeredness behind the stones. And above all else, we stop nailing holes in the body of Christ, because he is risen and we are rising together. And anytime the nails of division and disunity and distrust and fear and conflict are driven among the body through the power of resurrection just keeps rising. And those holes, man, they just keep being filled up with grace and joy. I'm telling you, that's how resurrection works. Do you believe this? Do you want to be a part of a rising? Because if so, it begins today with following Jesus, who's already ahead of us out in the Galilees of our community, saying, meet me there. I'll show you the power of resurrection. Do we believe this? Today begins the great 50 days of Easter. And like we've done the past 2 years, we're taking on what's called the Great 50-Day Challenge. Last year, there were 37 congregations in our Alabama West Florida Conference of the United Methodist Church. We think there'll be more this year, but 50 churches partnering together. Last year, we grew our annual conference in small communities and large communities like ours by connecting over 800 people to Jesus Christ last year in 50 days, just 50 days. So locally, the goal that we're taking on is this. First, our goal is to welcome in 50 new members by profession of faith, baptism, or transfer of membership over the course of 50 days. 50 new members in 50 days. We've done that for 2 years in a row. We believe the Holy Spirit will let it happen again. Secondly, I'm asking for 50 people per week to pray for this church. You can sign up at the church office. 50 people this coming week, 50 people the following week. And I want you to come to the church, to the campus. And I want you to pray for the grounds. I want you to pray for the pews on which you're sitting. I want you to pray for technology. I want you to pray for Sunday school classes. I want you to pray for our schools and our staff. I want you to pray for the people who aren't here right now. 50 people per week for the weeks of Eastertide can make a difference for Jesus Christ in this world. And finally, I love this one. We've asked our community partners to submit a wish list. Don't you love that? We're compiling a list of 50 things that our community partners need that if they had it right now, they could raise stories and people to new life. We've already received a couple. One group needs a sink and hot water. You think we could do that to help raise to new life a story for someone else? Someone said, we need something to cook so we can feed people. Do you think that your Sunday school class or your family could adopt one of those items and say, we believe in the power of resurrection to feed people and to clothe and to visit and to shelter? The great 50-day challenge is here. You know, I was thinking that the first Easter began with the absence of a body, but now there's a new body of Christ. It's us. It's the church called to rise together above the darkness and above the division. I think that happens when we lock arms together and we set our sights on the direction Jesus is going. There's a lot of ways I've thought about describing Easter as hope when despair is so dark. When we lose somebody, we always have this hope, this blessed assurance that we can't fully explain, but we know exists. And I've thought about new things springing up in all of creation this time of year. The buds are blooming. And I thought a lot about how do I explain resurrection as a reality to me? And the best way that I can come up with is this: that darkness does not win, that light does. And the better way of saying it is, I once was blind, but now I what? See. That's resurrection. I see how God can raise my life to something new. I see how God is raising your life to something new. I see what God is doing through this body of believers right here to raise new life. It was Tony Evans that said, Jesus didn't say, "I am finished." Jesus said, "It is finished." That Jesus is only getting started. Today is just day one. C.S. Lewis said that Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Do you believe this? Alive and rising. That's who we are. Alive, it looks like reconciliation between friends who were once friends but are now estranged. Alive and rising, it looks like admitting I was wrong and even remaining silent when I know I'm right. Alive looks like forgiving someone who hurt you and no longer allowing that power to hold you, but also forgiving yourself. That's alive. That's rising. That's resurrection. Alive and rising looks like letting go of everything this world tells us we have to control. We don't. We're not clenched fist people. Easter people are praise people. Yeah? Alive says that this body rises together despite differences, and it heals the wounds that it's caused itself and the wounds caused by others. Alive is being stronger together because we've been broken together. And knowing that there's no stone large enough to stand in the way of what God is trying to do to us, because we rise together. Because as one preacher said, God will not give up on us, on this body. That God continues to reach down in the tombs that we create for ourselves and to love us back to life again and again and again and again. Do you believe this? Because if not, I'll believe it for you. And the person on your left or your right around you, they'll believe it with you. And we'll walk out those doors together and proclaim the power of resurrection to raise us to new life. The empty tomb means that your life doesn't have to be, right? And if empty is where you are right now, then there's good news. That's where grace loves us and loves to find us, to draw us out of the darkness and into the marvelous light of a new day, that Christ has overcome all things. We don't know what the future holds, do we? But we know who holds the future. And we can face tomorrow because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives and we rise together. May it be so, Easter people. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.